You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, episode number 61. Choices and decisions must be supported by your passion, resolve, and a productive work ethic. If these meet opportunity, your success has finally come. Archibald Marwitzi.
This is the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, where we teach you the top strategies, tactics, and growth hacks that every indie filmmaker needs to know to make money with their films. We are the podcast that puts the business back into show business. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome to another episode of the Filmtrepreneur Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, how to turn your independent film into a profitable business. It's harder today than ever before for independent filmmakers to make money with their films, from predatory film distributors ripping them off to huckster film aggregators who prey upon them. The odds are stacked against the indie filmmaker. The old distribution model of making money with your film is broken, and there needs to be a change. The future of independent filmmaking is the entrepreneurial filmmaker or the filmtrepreneur. In Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I break down how to actually make money with your film projects and show you how to turn your indie film into a profitable business. With case studies examining successes and failures, this book shows you the step-by-step method to turn your passion into a profitable career. If you're making a feature film, series, or any other kind of video content, the Filmtrepreneur method will set you up for success. The book is available in paperback, ebook, and of course, audiobook. If you want to order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's filmbizbook.com. Before we get started, guys, I set up a special link to help people affected by the coronavirus, and you can donate to Feed America. There is a lot of people in need out there, and Feed America is a great organization, and they're helping millions of people on a daily basis, and they also need your help. If you want to donate even $5, $10, it goes a long way. Head over to indiefilmhustle.com/help. Now, guys, today I'm going to talk about something that I've been asked at least a million times, which is, how do I make money as a filmmaker? Or better yet, can I make money as a filmmaker? And the short answer is yes. Is it easy? Absolutely not. It is very difficult. But can it be done? Yes, because I am sitting right here in front of you as you're listening to my voice as an example of someone who's not only made money as a filmmaker, but has made a career out of it. So it is doable, because if I can do it, anyone could do it. So I'm going to go over a bunch of different ways that filmmakers can start right when they're starting, you know, getting out of film school or just starting out, how to start building that career. And then a few different ways if you've already established yourself in the business and want to make a couple side hustles. I'm going to throw you a couple ideas as well. So the very first thing that you can do is either you can work for somebody else or work for yourself. Now, let's go into working for somebody else first. You know, when you're starting out, you don't know anything. You got to learn. So the best way to do that is by working for other people who have been there before you, who are doing what you want to do. And you'll learn just by literally standing there watching them do what they do. So film crew work is an amazing way to get the ball rolling, to get in there as a PA or a department PA or a production office PA or an assistant camera or a bunch of different other avenues that you can go through on a film crew. But let's start off with the entry point, which is PA or production assistant. They are the blood that runs through a production set. Without PAs, you can't get things done. Film crews cannot work without having PAs running around. It really is helpful to have them. So PAs or production assistants are going to basically be anything and everything you need on a set to be done. So runs for coffee, picking people up, driving people, jumping on a crew, helping other departments. You're basically doing everything, and that's a great way to get started. It is ball-busting work. If you're working on big productions, you're going to be waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and working 18 hours for little money, but you're going to learn a lot. That's one way of going about it, just being a straight-up crew PA. Or you can try to specialize and get into a department like the production design department or camera department, stunts, all these different departments that you can jump into and try to be PAs for them. So being a level up like a production design PA, which means that you're their PA. So everything that you're going to do on set is going to be around helping them in their department. Again, if that's a great way, if you want to try to go down a certain road in production, if you want to learn about cinematography, wouldn't it be great to be a PA and watching professional cinematographers, first ACs, second ACs, DITs, and so on? Just you get such a close personal and intimate relationship with that department. You'll learn so much more. Another great area in the film crew of working for other people is working in the production office. When I was in film school, I was lucky enough to get an internship working for free at Universal Studios in Florida. And I was able to jump from production to production working in the office. And while working in the office, you're there with the producers, you're there with the showrunners, you're there with directors and all the higher ups. So you watch what's going on. You're sitting there all day listening, learning. It was awesome. I loved it. Anytime they needed help, I'd go out to set and then learn there. It was immensely important in my development as a filmmaker. So when you're starting out, that is a great way to learn as much as you can, as well as networking with big people. I mean, you're going to get access to people in the office, in the production office, that you will not get to on set. You will not be able to have a conversation with a producer on set. You will not be able to build a relationship with a producer as a PA on set. But as an office PA, if you're there every day and you're getting coffees, you're getting bagels, people know who you are, you're running around, you're making copies, your face, they start recognizing you. And then all of a sudden the producers are starting to take notice of you. And that's a real quick way to jump up the ladder very, very quickly if you want to go down that road. But you're still going to learn a lot. Even if you want to go off and make your own films and do your own thing, this is still an immense opportunity for networking and for education. Now, another thing you could do is work for a actual production company. When I first got out of school, my first job was interning and then work at a job at a huge commercial production company in Florida. And I learned so much from working there, and I got a job and I was getting paid and I was learning and networking with people in my area and in my film community. So I was able to, you know, if I wanted to go shoot something, I could borrow their gear on the weekends and use their editing systems after hours for free. All these resources by working at a production company was amazing. I learned the skills that helped me build my career at that first job. And right afterwards, I mean, literally, I was a tape dubber. So I was making dubs of director's reels. I was editing, custom editing director's reels tape to tape. This is old school 3/4 inch stuff. But next door to me was an Avid. And that was the first time I ever saw really like a full-blown Avid editing system. So I actually went out and got certified. And then I practiced every day in the morning before work and after hours. And on weekends, I would go and just build my craft, learn my craft, started editing demo reels, putting things together, because I decided that was the route I was going to go. I was going to learn that skill. I was going to learn editing. Now, you could have easily gone down the camera route. You could have easily gone down the production design route, the wardrobe route, the stunts route, or any other areas in the film industry. But for me, I felt that was what was going to help me become a better filmmaker, because I was going to be able to edit. And I think the best filmmakers always come from being editors or understand the craft of editing so, so well that it helps them become better directors. So that's what I decided to do. And then soon after that, I ventured out and became a skilled freelancer, which is the next thing you could become to make money as a filmmaker. Become a skilled freelancer. So I went out and I started, I already built up a demo reel, a fake demo reel. It's called Spec, of a bunch of commercials that weren't real, but they showed my skills off. And I happened to slap a couple of big brand logos at the end of it. So people thought that they were bigger than they were. You know, that was bigger than I was, but If they asked me, I always told them it was a spec reel. But if they didn't ask me, they assumed. And that was fine with me. And that helped me get going so well. That first demo reel worked for me that I did not change it for 2.5 years. That demo reel continued to get me work for over 2.5 years till I finally updated it. So I went out and I started freelancing and I sent my demo reel out and I became a skilled freelancer where I was starting to make real money. I was 22, 23 years old. I had been busting my ass for about a year, year and a half. And then I started making serious money. I was making $50 an hour, sometimes overtime, depending if I was working on a network or not. And it was great. And I was making money hand over fist back in the days because it was the 90s and money was flowing like crazy. But it was a great time. So what I decided to do then is like, I'm going to become an editor and I'm going to be a freelance editor. And that's the route I'm going to go. And I'm going to make money so then I could start going off and either making a commercial demo reel to become a director or shooting some music videos or actually trying to go out and shoot a feature. And back then, the options of shooting a feature were much less than they are now. The technology was very expensive and so on. So I decided to go out and make my commercial reels. But my point is I was making money editing as a skilled freelancer. And what I did is once I taught myself that skill, I branded myself that way. I had my business cards made up, websites and so on to brand myself as a skilled freelancer or as a freelance editor. Again, you could do this in multiple areas in the business, but I'm just trying to show you that as a skilled freelancer, you can go out and make money as a filmmaker while you're building yourself up, your skill set up, those tools and those toolbox up, and the war chest, the money that you're going to be able to save, hopefully, to go out and make your own projects. So that's one way. I went down the post route. You could have easily gone down the camera route where you buy a camera and you start just making stuff and you just open up a production company. So building your own production company is another way of making money as a filmmaker. Now, I know that sounds really big and grandiose, but look, in today's world, do you have a camera? Do you have some lights? Do you have some basic editing gear? You're a production company. Even if you're working outside the back of your house or in a spare bedroom in your house or out of your kitchen, you are a production company. You can brand yourself as a production company if you can bring the goods, if you can do what you say you're going to do. The best thing you could do when you open up a production company is become a predator, a producer, director, editor. Because if you can't do all three of those parts, you're going to have to hire someone to do those parts, those jobs. So if you can do them all, guess what? You get to keep all the money. That's one of the reasons why I'm always working or I always have something going on because I do hundreds of different jobs and I have multiple different ways of making money. As a filmmaker, because I've been able to build those skill sets up over time. So become a predator, producer, director, editor. It really helps you out a lot when you're building out your production company. Now, the clients, what are the kind of clients you're going to go after as a production company? You can go after corporate jobs. Now, corporate jobs are not always fun. They're generally kind of boring. You know, you're going to be doing talking heads. You're going to do all that kind of stuff. It's not really fun, but they do pay. And there's money to be made. So I know a lot of times you might not want to do a job because it's not creatively fulfilling. Well, welcome to the real world because I've done multiple jobs. I can't even tell you how many jobs I've done in my career that I did not want to do, but I did it because of the money, because it was a good experience for me. I would be able to build up my clientele, build up my client list and make that money to be able to survive and keep fighting for another day. So sometimes you're going to have to take those corporate jobs. And I'll give you a perfect example, great story, which is the Duplass brothers, Mark and Jay Duplass. Their first job out of film school built their own production company. They got some editing gear and they went out and did a corporate job. And that corporate job paid them, I think, like $80,000 or $90,000. For this little documentary on like the making of this company. And that's a lot of money. They actually took a portion of that, lived off of it, and then took the rest of it. It took $65,000 and they made their first feature film with that money. Mind you, the first feature film was burned because they said it was absolutely horrendous, but that's irrelevant. The point is that they were able to go out and make their first big movie or their first feature film because of a corporate job. So don't look so down on those things. You know, money's money. And if you can make it doing even remotely something close to what you want to do as a filmmaker, my God, take it, because it's better than going to Starbucks and, you know, and working there or flipping burgers. You know, would you like fries with that? There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if your goal is to be a filmmaker, wouldn't you rather be doing something in that world than doing something that's not in that world? Another great thing that you could do is music videos. Now, music videos are going to be extremely creative. You're going to have so much fun doing them, but there's going to be very little cash, if any cash at all. Especially the way the world works today, music videos are a great way for you to show off your creativity, to show off what you can do on a production standpoint, but you're not going to get a lot of money for it, but you're going to be able to be free and creative. So music videos are a wonderful way of going about that. Another idea is, I'm sure you know somebody that owns a business or a friend of a friend that owns a business somewhere in town, in your town. Why don't you offer to make them a commercial for their website? A free commercial, free. Don't charge, free. Do two or three of them and then all of a sudden you'll have a demo reel of commercials you've done locally. Now you can start charging for what you were giving away for free originally, just so you can prove that you can do it. And you will have to do that. So you'll have your camera gear, you have your editing gear, and go out there and do it. So if you're able to create one, two, or three of these commercials, then you can start pitching other companies. Like, look what I've done with these other companies. My rate to make your commercial is going to be $5,000 if you want this package. If you want this package with a little bit more bells and whistles, it's going to be $10,000. And if you want the big bad boy package, it's $15,000. And all of a sudden, you, my friend, are a full-blown production company where you're doing commercials for the web online. Let's say they're not the things you want to be doing, but you're able to make money so then you can go off and make the movies you want and have that freedom. Understand, money equals freedom. So if you're able to make that money by doing what you love to do, even if it's not exactly what you want to do, you will be ahead of the game. Because if you could have that money so you can go off and make your $10,000 feature film or short films or a series or whatever you want to do, that's the goal. So these are just options on how to get there. And another way of making money with a production company is, of course, weddings and event filming, where you can film conferences, you can film obviously doing wedding videos, which I have no experience doing wedding videos. That is one thing I've never done in all of my career. I've never done anything with weddings at all. So it's a whole other world. There's plenty of videos and tutorials about wedding videos on YouTube and many, many courses, I'm sure, online. But it's an option. It is an option to go into to make money. And it is money, and they do pay well. So again, another option to make money as a filmmaker. And believe me, some of these wedding videos, it's not like it was in the olden days. Some of these wedding videos are beautiful, like gorgeous documentaries about the journey of these two people and all this kind of stuff. I've seen some stuff I was blown away by. I know wedding videos are being shot on Alexas and Reds and have, you know, $40,000-$50,000 budgets, if not more, depending on how big it is. So it's not like it used to be where it's just, you know, a 15-year-old with a camera shooting a wedding video. So it's definitely something you might want to take a look at. Again, in getting to where you need to be, that's another way of making money. Now, another way to make money as a filmmaker that I've just recently discovered because of a company that I'll talk about in a minute is stock footage creation. Now, stock footage gets a bad rap, but in today's world with so much need for video content, stock footage is blowing up. And you can easily, as an amazing side hustle, even if you're interning somewhere, even if you're going if you're working 9 to 5 somewhere, you can go off on the weekends and do a side hustle by shooting stock footage. And trust me, I actually put some stock footage up for a little while ago, and I make money with it every month. It's insane. I know guys who are making $60,000-$70,000 a year off their stock footage library. And again, this is like someone who's been doing it for years, and he's built up like 4,000 or 5,000 clips. But it is doable, and it's a great way to make side money. Or you can actually turn your business into stock footage creation with drone footage and 4K footage and raw footage and all sorts of different routes you can go down. But it is remarkable. It's a great way to make passive revenue streams, which is what I love. I love passive revenue streams. I love waking up in the morning and going, oh, something I did a year or two ago, it's giving me a dollar now. You know, I still sell my short films that I did from 10 years ago, and I'm still making money with them. It's a wonderful way to create passive revenue streams. So either borrow a camera or buy a camera and shoot your stock footage on downtime. Find unique locations around where you live, because there's so much stock footage out there. Now, if you're going to shoot the same thing everybody else is shooting, it's not going to work. So if I go out and shoot Hollywood Boulevard because I live in Los Angeles, guess what? LA's, you know, stock footage world, I mean, a lot of people have shot Hollywood Boulevard, unless you shoot it in a unique way. You shoot it time-lapse. You shoot it, you know, with a fisheye. You do something else to make it stand out. That's another way to make money. Now, another way is, I'm sure if you've shot a bunch of stuff, you've got hard drives full of raw footage of either B-roll of stuff that you didn't ever use in those projects, whether they be documentary, corporate, whatever, or they're scenes or action sequences or something that you have the rights to and you have the permission of the actors to do. And you can just use that as stock footage, upload it to the different stock footage houses and start getting that money, guys. Now, a great service, and I know you guys have heard this name a bunch because they are a major sponsor of the podcast, is Blackbox. Now, Blackbox allows you, and this is what I've never did stock footage before because I always found it to be so difficult and such a pain in the ass, and you got to upload it to like 6 or 7 different companies and have to deal with all that and submit it. It's just too much time. Where Blackbox, you're literally allowed to upload one clip and they submit it to all the major stock footage houses for you. They collect the money. They take a little bit of a percentage, but honestly, for the amount of time that you save, it is so well worth it. And on top of that, if you want to, let's say you have a friend who's an actor, you go out there and shoot something with that actor, you guys can split it. You guys can split it, and it's all done within Blackbox. So like, you know, okay, look, I'm going to have you, John, I'm going to have you go out there and shoot a bunch of running shots on the beach. Great. We'll split it 50-50. Fantastic. So now every single time a clip is sold, John gets a percentage of it. It gets 50%, goes right to his PayPal, and 50% goes into your PayPal. You don't even have to worry about it. It's amazing. So you just go to blackbox.global and check it out. And I'm not, again, this is not a big advertisement for it. I just love what these guys are doing. They are really helping filmmakers out a lot to be able to make money. And again, that is a passive stream of income. It is wonderful. So definitely check them out. Now, another way to make money, if you're not already rolling around in the cash after all these tips I've given you, but another way to actually make money is become an online content creator. Now, being an online content creator or a YouTuber, let's say, is very creative. You have complete and utter freedom to do whatever the hell you want. You have to find an audience and then serve that audience, whatever that audience is. So if you are going to be the person who opens up Disney toys, and those are the videos you make, that's the audience you're going to have to go after. Believe me, that is a thing, and they're making lots and lots of money doing it. But look, when it comes to being an online content creator, it's a long game. If you expect to put videos up on YouTube and just collect that ad money, you are really, you know, badly mistaken. It's not that easy. It takes millions and millions and millions of views for you to actually be able to make a decent amount or something that you can survive on from just YouTube ads. Now, you can get sponsorships as well once you build up the audience big enough, but that you have the creative freedom to do what you want. That's what I was able to do with this podcast. I do whatever I want whenever I want with this podcast. And I have sponsors, and I have other ways that I monetize these podcasts so I can give this information to you guys for free and not charge you for all the information and all the time and energy that I do by putting these things out there for you guys. And another way to monetize videos on YouTube and things like that is Patreon, where you actually are asking your audience to pay you a small amount of money to have exclusive access to certain content and support you making these videos. And I know some guys on YouTube that are making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 per video, and they put out 2-3 videos a week, a month. So they're making a lot of money and on top of sponsorships, on top of other things. But again, that's about building that audience and really taking a long time to do. And it's taken me, I'm going on 3 years now, guys. In the beginning of July, Indie Film Hustle is going to be having its 3rd birthday. So it's taken me a long time to build up the audience that I've been able to build up. But it's doable. But you have to understand, we will take time to do, and it's not going to happen overnight. Now, you could also do this on the side at first, you know, start doing little videos every once in a while, do them on the weekends, and then just make sure that you're consistent. Whatever you're going to do, make sure you're consistent. Show up every week at that time that you tell your audience that you're going to post something and post it. And slowly but surely, you'll be able to build something up. It won't get rich off this, but it will help you build your brand, and it will help you show off your skills in production, depending on what kind of videos you're making. So if you're making like the Rocket Jump guys, these guys were making a short film a week and showing you how they made it every week. And they did that for years. And they were able to build up a 7 or 8 million follower audience by doing that. And they were able to do other things with that. And I'll leave it in the show notes, the interview I did with one of the founders, Dez, of the Rocket Jump Boys, so you can hear their stories and how they were able to do it. But it is doable, and you can do that. And finally, doing free jobs. Don't write them off, guys. Don't write off doing just free work, because you never know what can happen with it. It depends on the kind of free work you're going to do. And I'll tell you a perfect story. When I moved to Los Angeles, I was just starting out as here. I mean, I had already been directing, but I was really doing a lot of post work at the time, trying to get my, you know, just trying to build up a business. I knew a couple people when I came out to LA, so I didn't know a lot of people. So I was slowly starting to do commercials, music videos, features. And then all of a sudden, I had someone come in, a director come in and offer me, he's like, look, dude, I don't have any money to pay you, but I have a music video with Snoop Dogg in it. And I'm like, really? He's like, can you do this for me? I need you to color grade this for me. I'm like, absolutely. I'll do it for free. And because I did that for free, I knew exactly what I was going to get paid, what kind of payment I was going to get from that. Having Snoop Dogg on my reel automatically added so much cachet, so much value to my brand as a colorist, as a post-production house or company, and it did exactly that. I rode that music video for years, where anytime anybody showed up to my site, they go, oh, wow, he's worked with this guy. And that one music video that I did for free spawned 20 or 30 other music videos where I worked with huge stars in hip hop and country, and did a ton of different work, all because I did that one job for free. So be strategic about the kind of jobs you do for free. You might be able to get on a big project with some big stars, and you might not be able to get paid everything. But if you could get those stars on your reel, if you're a DP, if you're a production designer, something like that, all of a sudden, that's a tremendous amount of value. And I can't say to do it all the time, but when opportunities present themselves, then don't just go, oh, I don't work for free. Think about it, and it's a great, see what kind of value you can get out of doing that job for free, because many times there's more value in doing the job for free than getting paid something small to do a job that is not going to take your career or your company anywhere else. And that's it for this episode, guys. I hope you learned a little something about how to make money as a filmmaker. These are just a few things that I've been able to come up with over the course of my career to make a living as a filmmaker. And you know what we do at Indie Film Hustle is to help you survive and thrive in the business, how to actually make a career of doing this. You know, one thing I didn't talk about is about making feature films at a lower budget to sell them at a higher budget. There's that model. There are short film models that you can make short films and put them up on YouTube and do other things like that. There's so many different other avenues you can go down in today's world, where opportunities that I didn't have when I was coming up. But a lot of the stuff that I talked about here, or all the stuff I talked about here, has value in one way, shape, or form, depending on where you are on your journey as a filmmaker. Don't put your nose up at certain avenues. Like, I would never do a corporate video. That's such a sellout. I hate to tell you, man, you're going to have to do something like that if you're going to survive in this business. Sometimes you have to do stuff like that. We all do it. Everyone does it. All of us do it. No matter how big of a filmmaker you were, at one point or another, you had to do something you didn't want to do to get your foot in the door. So keep that mind open, and always just think of other ways that you can make revenue streams. And that is one more piece of advice I can give you guys: revenue streams. As many different kinds of revenue streams that you can have coming into you is the key, is diversity. Because if you're not able to make money as an editor in May, maybe you can make money as a colorist. And then so that month you get a job as a colorist. But if you didn't know that skill, you would not be able to get that job, not work. And sometimes because you're doing the color work, they're like, oh, well, we also need a re-edit. Okay, great. I could do that job too. Oh, we also need a post supervisor. I've got credits in that as well. I could do that as well. Oh, we need some help with VFX. I can do that as well. I'm just using the post-production aspect of things. But all of a sudden, if you're doing it in the production standpoint, you just come in as a camera guy. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I also edit. Oh, I also color grade. Or I also do other things. Find multiple ways that you can make money. Don't just stick to one thing. Because if that thing, that one thing dries up, you're in trouble. Okay? And then you're going to be really, really bad place. That's what I've never done. I've always been doing multiple things at different ways. And if you can create multiple passive revenue streams, that's even better. If you can figure out other ways to do different things and get different revenue streams coming in, that's the best, especially passive revenue streams. So that's it for this episode, guys. If you want to get links to anything I spoke about in this episode, please head over to the show notes at filmtrepreneur.com/061. And if you haven't already, please head over to filmbizpodcast.com and leave a review for the show. It really helps out the rankings and helps us get this podcast out to more and more people. Thank you again for listening, guys. As always, be that filmtrepreneur. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Filmtrepreneur podcast at filmtrepreneur.com.